example of a guy like, don't look at numbers, don't count, just find ways to develop and continue to get better. Shoot, early in that year, he was inactive, his rookie year, and then injuries happen. He comes out, has an opportunity against Baltimore, and then he just continues working, and his approach doesn't change. And I think some of it was just given the opportunity. We had some injuries, you know, when I kind of took over, but Khalil Shakir is going to just only continue to get better. A lot of our success is because of him.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady on Khalil Shakir. Matthew Golden highlights. He's wearing number 22.
How do you feel about that?
It's not great.
There's been some good receivers that have worn
20s.
Remember,
hold on, let me think of one.
I got two that come to mind.
Sky Moore wore 24.
Oh, there's like, another one.
Who else wore
He's not very good.
No, who else wore numbers in the 20s?
Devin Hester, when he switched from corner to wide receiver.
Okay.
And he played most of his career playing receiver. Dexter McCluster comes to mind. That's a deep pull for you fantasy players that have been around a while. Maybe that's it. That's not many.
Hmm.
There's probably been some good ones in college, right?
Yep. This time next year, I was thinking about this because I was thinking about the new stadium and how quickly it'll flip to, hey, this is the final year at Highmark, final year at Highmark. The commemorative signs, the logos, the red helmet, you know, then the playoffs will happen. And then, whatever, if it's an AFC championship game or whatever it is, it'll transition from the last year at Highmark to, holy cow, the next Bills game I go to is going to be in the new stadium.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I was thinking about this is because we've got our bet board over there. You can go ahead and erase Brandon Bean says wide receiver train because did
and I
say
paid that
it.
Out. And I paid
you
that
paid
out.
It out. He did say it. That's a score for me. Thank you, Brandon Bean. Said it to Matt Parrino.
Yeah.
And they're one-on-one. So thank you for that. And the bet right above it might be fun to revisit right now. Just to throw it around. Something to throw around. Ready?
Yep.
So the bet above it is Joe and I drafted who the opponent would be in the home opener next year.
It's probably been like 2 years since we also did that?
Yeah.
So it was a while ago.
But we know the teams. 2026, who will be the first team to be an opponent at the new Highmark Stadium?
Yep.
And as I look at this, we must have done a snake draft. I had the first pick because I chose Miami. And then you chose Kansas City and New England.
Right.
And then I chose the Chargers. I keep it in the AFC. You took the Jets.
Yep.
I took Detroit. You took the Bears. I have the AFC North winner.
Yep.
Whoever that is. Who would you bet it to be right now? You think Miami is the favorite? First team to play in the new stadium.
Well.
It could be factored in by, first off, if the Bills win the Super Bowl, they open at home.
I was going to say that.
They might just open at home anyway. It's also possible the league puts them in week two on purpose. I'm thinking back to when, I think when the Raiders opened their new stadium, it might have been Sunday night, week two.
Okay.
You know, the league gets its opening week schedule out of the way. And then week two, hey, brand new facility. Come check out this new palace that's been built. So, you know, but could it be divisional team? Could it be a game like this, like Bills-Ravens is the first game this year because it's too juicy to pass up?
Yep. Well.
There's a lot of factors.
If they win the Super Bowl.
It won't be Miami.
It will be Kansas City. No doubt. Am I wrong?
I mean, it could be.
I think there is.
It could be the AFC North winner. That could be Cincinnati. It could be Cincinnati.
I guess. Who have they beaten along the way could matter. Sure, if they beat the Bengals in the AFC Championship, then Cincinnati becomes more likely. But I would be stunned if, unless like that specific of a scenario happens. They are playing the Chiefs to open the new stadium if they are the defending Super Bowl champions.
It's too big of a game.
It's like this.
Nobody wants Bills-Chiefs in week one.
Last year was Baltimore and Kansas City. That was huge. That's as big as it gets. That's the same thing. It's actually bigger. There's more history between
That was an AFC Championship rematch in week one. That's right.
There's more history. I think it would be Miami if they win the Super Bowl.
My point. You feel good about your Kansas City pick.
But if they win it. I think if they don't win the Super Bowl, then I don't feel good about my Kansas City pick.
Because then they could open on the road and then just open week two against Miami.
Yeah.
In prime time.
And I don't love that. But right now, like, they're going to want to make it a big game. They're going to want to make it a meaningful opponent. Like, I end up picking the Bears.
That's not happening.
That's like, there's what? They're going to open the new stadium against Chicago?
Yeah, a Super Bowl rematch, obviously. Bills,
that,
Bears.
That would be what I need. That's why you having the Lions, I think, is pretty clutch there, because that has some potential to be, oh, the Bills and the Lions just played in the Super Bowl. Rematch them to open the new stadium. Like, that to me seems way more likely because of that reason. I like having the division teams. I think I am a heavy favorite to win that right now. I think your best bet is the AFC North. And I like having two division opponents and Kansas City.
I think my true best bet is the Bills. Again, this is just like the Bills versus the field. My true best bet is they don't actually win the Super Bowl, and then my entire board opens up and Miami is... Then you go divisional game.
Does it matter if Miami's really bad this year?
Yeah.
I wonder what they are to the league. Like, for the Bills, they are, you know, the all-time rival.
A rival.
There's a ton of history between the two. So I get that. But what's Miami to the league next year? Are they interesting to people?
Yeah.
Because I could very well see a scenario where nobody's going to want to watch the Dolphins. If Drake May takes the step, we think, and they capitalize on a super easy schedule in New England, pushes the Bills even a little bit, and they win 10 games. Like, to me, that's more likely than the Dolphins. They're going to need that to happen, though.
Just got a fun, if you like, your whatever. It's treated like betting lines, but call it a prediction line. Just found it, betonline.ag, which, you know, they send emails.
Yep.
One thing that they offer is you can bet the longest winning or losing streak for a team.
Okay.
How about that? Like, what's the line for the Bills' longest losing streak?
Ooh, like 1.5?
It's 1.5.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the line for the longest losing streak in the league?
New Orleans.
New Orleans, the line for longest losing streak is 3.5.
Okay. Is that the longest?
No. Feels like you should hammer that.
I agree.
They will lose 4 in a row at some point.
The Giants?
The Giants is 4.5.
They have a tough schedule. Is that the longest?
Nope. There's one more.
Who else is really bad? Tennessee?
Cleveland. Cleveland's 5.5.
Cleveland 5.5.
And that's the longest one. 5.5 is the longest line
okay.
for the losing streak in the NFL. For winning streak, it is a tie between two teams. Two teams have the biggest line for longest over-under on consecutive wins in the 2025 season.
Bills.
Yep.
Ravens.
Yep. Chiefs are 4.5. The Bills and Ravens are 5.5.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Maybe this would surprise you. The Bills, I believe it is every year with Josh Allen at quarterback, have had a losing streak of 2 games. They've never had a 3-game losing streak to what I'm looking at right now. But every year of Josh Allen, they've won at least one time, lost 2 games in a row.
Hmm.
Last year, it was Baltimore and Houston, back-to-back. The previous year, they lost to Denver and Cincinnati, back-to-back. Every year, you got a 2-game losing streak. The Jets and the Vikings, remember that? Allen gets hurt, then the Jefferson game. This year, they have an easy schedule, though. So, 1.5. Might feel like, oh, they always respond after a loss. And I think their record probably is amazing compared to the league at that, but you still end up getting a couple games in a row every single year.
5.5. Would they win 5.5? Will they win 6 in a row?
Where would you expect that to happen? Where's the most likely stretch of that?
The most likely stretch, I think, is the first 6 games.
I was going to say, they have an easy schedule, but...
Who?
Is it the Bills? But is it spaced out?
I don't think they have an easy schedule. But I think they have a good one. I mean, they've got 4 tough games at home. All their tough games are at home. But if you're trying to find 6 wins in a row, you win the opener, you go Jets, Dolphins, Saints, Patriots, Falcons. That's you're done. Even if you don't win the opener, Jets, Dolphins, Saints, Patriots, Falcons, Panthers. That's 6 between the Ravens and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Could you win 6 in a row? I think yes, you could. You could also have your December run, which you always do with Sean McDermott teams. They end the season, Steelers, Bengals, Patriots, Browns, Eagles, Jets.
Do they care at the end? Will matter to that. But if they do, then you just got to beat the Bengals, and that's a very favorable stretch, I think. Warren Sharp, I mean, forecasted wins by Vegas. So just if you take the Vegas win totals, the Bills have the fifth easiest schedule in the league this year. There is a massive gulf, though, for the top three. Like, the Falcons and the Bills are neck and neck for fourth and fifth. The top three, New Orleans. New Orleans actually has a very easy schedule. The Patriots and the Niners all have the easiest schedules by far. By the win totals. Not by, like, last year's record. By the win totals. Which I do feel like is a better way to do it anyway.
Matthew Stafford, the Rams are not saying much about him. He's got back issues. He and Spencer Brown, you know, same boat right now.
But for them, I mean, that's their whole season.
Yeah, probably.
Like, the Bills can overcome missing Spencer Brown for a little bit if they need to. But
you're ready for Jimmy Garoppolo to lead the Rams to a 12-5 season with Sean McVay. In fact, Devontae Adams went on the record about his relationship with
Garoppolo
and said that we were miserable on the Raiders, but he's glad to play with him now. Said, I love Jimmy. Okay. It was never personal. It's been amazing. We've gotten to catch up and get on the same page. Obviously, that was a dark moment in all our lives. I think all of us were pretty miserable over there. We kind of caught up and laughed about it. We've been making plays since we've been here. Garoppolo's running the first-team offense of the Rams while Matthew Stafford sits out with a back injury. But Garoppolo and Adams had problems in Vegas, and basically the explanation is everybody was miserable.
So you like the Rams a lot this year? I'm hearing a lot of Rams love.
I do like the Rams a lot this year.
I'm hearing a lot of Rams love. Would Stafford be viewed any differently, like in a large way, if he won a second one? Is him having one already kind of like he's in a tier? You know, he's a great, he's a Hall of Famer. But if he wins a second one, is anybody going to like drastically change the career? You know, reputation of Matthew Stafford.
I think if he wins another Super Bowl, he is a lock Hall of Famer.
You don't think he is right now?
I do not.
He's got the numbers for it. And he does have one ring. I feel like he's pretty strong to get there. Like, the passing yardage, he really... I don't know how much longer he will play. But he's still very good. So if he continues, if he can get healthy and keep playing, he is already in the top 10 all-time in passing yardage. And I know, like, that's very, you know, sided towards the guys that have played more recently. But, like, his peers, he's 3,000 yards behind Aaron Rodgers. If he plays one more year than Aaron Rodgers, he'll have more yards in his career than Aaron Rodgers will. If he plays, like, this year, he probably needs two more years. He needs, like, 20 games to pass Ben Roethlisberger
all time
on that list. He needs probably 2.5 more years to pass Peyton Manning. He won't pass Brady. But... like, he's going to be, in terms of, like, the totals, as high as all these other guys that are, like, definitely going to the Hall of Fame. So I would already make the case for him. If he wins a second one, then you're right. Like, there's going to be no debate whatsoever if he does that.
Yeah.
And they gave Philly more of a run for their money than anybody did. Philly almost lost to them.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams had the ball. Where did they have the ball? Did they have the ball in, like, the 10-yard line with a couple minutes to go? But they were right there. They were on the doorstep of winning that game, and then the Eagles didn't have a challenge the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, the Eagles, I mean, they peaked at the right time, which is what we've been, you know, wanting the Bills to do for forever. Peak at the right time. I mean, the Eagles did not strike me as a juggernaut through the season.
Yeah, where are you at on them? Because you hated them, but hated them. You thought they were not as good as their record 2 years ago.
Right.
But then last year, they were a wagon last year.
Yeah. 2 years ago, they had the best defense in football, and then they couldn't touch Mahomes. Two years later, their defense was, again, good, and they got there to Mahomes, and it's like, oh, wow, look at what they've done.
Yeah.
2 years ago in the Super Bowl, they didn't touch him.
That's right. They also had, like, Hurts had another really good day.
He did.
Offensively. And I mean, their roster, like, they just don't, they aren't missing anything. They have stars everywhere on that roster.
That's because they pay and they operate under a different salary cap than most of the league does.
But that's probably them again this year.
That's right.
Like they're loaded. Their line's great. Their defense they lost a couple of linemen, but I mean, really the crux of what they were last year is all coming back. The only thing I really don't like about them is their coach.
Yeah. I've got two injury updates around the league, not anything on Hairston yet.
Okay.
So like the insiders with some reports. Rappaport, moments ago on Isaiah Likely, quote, he will be fine, in the words of one source.
On who is that?
That's Isaiah Likely.
Isaiah Likely?
Isaiah Likely. On the Browns corner, who they feared an Achilles injury?
Yeah.
Correct. Out the year. Full extent of the injury. Expectation is a significant tear.
Yeah.
He'll undergo imaging. But sources tell Mike Garofolo, out for the year.
And then,
Rappaport confirming that, out for the year.
Here's another example of like what the timeline could look like. So this Kader Kohou injury in Miami, he's out for the year with a torn ACL. He was injured on Saturday. When was the news drop? An hour ago. Wednesday morning. So with Hairston, we could find out today, but there's a corner in the division that was hurt on Saturday, and it took 4 days to find out officially what ends up happening there. So maybe we get a similar timeline with Hairston. I'm not sure. All those situations are different. No injuries yet around the league, though, that are drastically changing like win totals. Not that I've seen. It would usually take a quarterback for that, or like a superstar
receiver.
Like Jefferson is hurt, right?
But he's got a hamstring, right?
But he's expected to be fine. Neighbors is hurt. It feels like a bunch, but he's expected to be fine. And the Giants aren't really that well thought of anyway. Jackson Dart, like, is the balls hitting him in the face? I guess at practice that might not be going great. There's nothing yet that I've seen that is like, you know, inhibitive to a team as they start the year, unless Stafford.
Stafford would be big.
Stafford would be the one if he can't get back.
803-0550. We've talked plenty on Hairston and on the most important players for this Bills team this year. Travis Hunter played, a lot of defensive snaps?
Yeah.
The Jaguars are mixing him. It was like 47-48 on practice offense versus defense practice snaps.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
He's going to play both.
I guess he is.
He is plus 1,000 to win, I think, both Offensive Rookie of the Year, and then separately also plus 1,000 to win Defensive Rookie of the
Year. That's a terrible bet. That will
either one of them?
Yeah, right. The things we list as impossible, that will be impossible for him.
To win one of them?
To win both of them.
Oh, to win both of them. Yeah. To win both of them, I think it's probably...
impossible.
100,000.
Should be viewed as impossible.
But what about winning one of them? He could win one of them.
He could win one of them. There are rookie quarterbacks.
Yep.
Who's the favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year? Who's in the best situation? Like, is it Tet McMillan? Is it Cam Ward if he's good? If a quarterback is good, a quarterback wins it.
That is usually the case. Okay, so here are the odds right now. Hunter is fourth in the odds. The favorite is Ashton Jeanty.
Right.
With the Raiders. Cam Ward is the second leading favorite. Like, how good would Cam Ward have to be to win Rookie of the Year? Like, if he's pretty good, he should. And then Omarion Hampton is number three, who's going to start for the Chargers. That's the one I kind of like. Harbaugh, they're going to want to run the ball again. They're trying to be more physical. He was a high draft pick. His competition, if you're tracking the Najee Harris thing, your guess is as good as anybody's. No one knows how bad his eye is from the fireworks accident. So, no idea about him. His competition might not play. So, Hampton might be good. And then it's Hunter. You mentioned Tet McMillan after that. You do not see a Bill listed here. Nor would you expect to.
No.
Anywhere
for Rookie of the Year? No, not at all.
And then for Defensive Rookie of the Year, so I feel like that usually goes to edge rushers. Hunter is second. Abdul Carter.
Mm-hmm.
He'd probably need a big interception here, right?
Hunter, yeah.
Like five picks.
Corners usually need, for Rookie of the Year, they need that. Who's the last corner to win Rookie of the Year? Like, I don't even know who did. Like, did Denzel Ward?
I know Jarris Bird. Well, Jarris Bird wasn't a corner anyway, but he didn't win it.
Nope.
The
last corner to win Rookie of the Year. Sauce?
Here we go. Jared Verse last year, Will Anderson. Yep, there you go, Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner, okay.
He was the only one, though, in the last 8 years. You had Marshawn Lattimore. Did not know until this moment that Joey Bosa won Defensive Rookie of the Year.
There you go.
It's a talent level.
Could he win Comeback Player of the Year? How did he do last year? Did he do poorly enough to win Comeback Player of the Year?
Is he eligible? Because aren't they sticklers now for how injured you've got to be?
Yeah. Not just old guys?
Right. He played 14 games last year.
Okay, he's not going to win it.
And he made the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
He's probably not winning Comeback Player of the Year.
I'll stand down. What award is most likely to happen for the Bills? Protector of the Year? Don't forget that
one. Yes.
Protector of the Year, MVP, Coach of the Year.
I mean, isn't
Rookie of the Year?
Isn't Dawkins a great pick for Protector of the Year in part because he kind of started it?
No, because people think they won't give it to him because of that.
Because he started it? You think that hurts him?
Yes.
Why?
Because they won't want to give it to him because it'll feel like it's cheapened. People say like, oh, sure, the guy that created it got the award. Oh, who won the first ever Joe DiBiase Award? Oh, it was Joe DiBiase? Oh, yeah, okay. Congratulations.
Well,
I'm not saying he's an undeserving candidate, but I do think that could you'd have some voters who would go one way and some would go the other.
Well, he does have the sixth best odds.
He's very good.
There are odds on this. The only lineman, Quentin Nelson, is the same odds as Dawkins. And then the guys ahead of him, Jordan Mailata, Tristan Wirfs, Trent Williams, Lane Johnson. And the favorite is Penei Sewell.
Well, sit down on Tristan Wirfs. He's hurt, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This list is from June 30th, so that would make sense.
Okay.
He's been hurt since then. Wirfs. No Spencer Brown listed. I mean, it'd be stunning if he won the best lineman in the year. I know he's really good, but.
Right. Wirfs is going to miss the start of the year because of a knee injury.
Okay.
803-0550. I know that because of my Baker shares in fantasy, and I was told that Baker's a good buy, and now Wirfs being hurt is bad news. But people are raving about Emeka Egbuka. Evans is raving.
Baker is.
So is Evans, already raving about him.
Yeah.
Then again, at his training camp, everybody gets raved about. There's yes. not a... I'd like there to be...
Who isn't... let me find that. Let me find someone who's not being raved about.
That's a starter. Yeah. Not, oh, this bench guy can't make it.
Right.
Like, I'd like a segment dedicated to, not to be a hater, but NFL, like, these things at camps are not going well.
Yeah.
Because camp reporting is 98%, this looks good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I guess that's because, you know, everything that happens, if it's a touchdown pass, you don't want to point out it's against your defense, so it's a good touchdown pass. And if there's a pass breakup, it's like, wow, great play by the corner here. Never mind the receiver didn't separate or the quarterback didn't get the ball in time. You know, it is what it is. It's camp. To be expected. We'll get a break in 803-0550 if you want to chime in on, you know, really anything. We'll try to find our way to some trivia. I'd like some instant trivia. You got anything for instant trivia?
Let me see if I can dig something
up. I'll look for something, too. We'll get something going. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.